Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And away we go for hour number four. Joe, Low, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. A lot of guests this hour, so bear with us here. Marcus Thompson coming up in 4 minutes. We're going to talk Warriors and Raiders. Not to mention the return of Beast Mode. Eric Edholm, NFL writer and draft analyst for Yahoo Sports, joins us at 9:30 to discuss what's next for both the Niners and Raiders as we approach day two of the NFL draft. And the great Sean Livingston, his health, his status for the next round, he's coming up at 9:45. Woo! Dibs, it was a great atmosphere last night at the draft party. Raiders draft party, Fox Theater. There was some concern that perhaps the move to Las Vegas would have a couple of jokers come out of the woodwork, maybe cause a problem. None of it. Raider Nation was beautiful last night, right up until the pick, and then everyone seemed confused and then just left.
That was it,
And then you walked outside, and it smelled like a Grateful Dead show in the 60s.
Well, that's
Oakland. Mean, like, woohoo!
Shout out Oakland, California. It sounded great. I was listening to you off and on. I was doing my single-parent thing as my wife continues to enjoy the Big Easy in New Orleans.
How's it going? You in over your head?
No, I'm actually hanging in there, and the kids have stepped up so beautifully. I told them straight off the top, after I gave them a threatening lecture over failing on garbage night, they failed to get the cans to the curb, and so we had a little sit-down.
Like, to get them all the way to the curb, or just
at
to
all.
Do it in general?
To do it at all. So, you know, you pay $150 a month for garbage, and if you miss one of them, it's about $40. So I said, hey.
What do you mean, $40? Like, to have them come back and pick it up, or what are you talking about?
No, it's $40 that I'm spending and I'm not getting a service
for.
Oh,
okay.
So I had to turn to the kids and say, look, I certainly, I'm not going to put you over my knee. You're both teenagers. But here's the thing. You mess up again, then you lose your devices for a day. If you mess up a second time, you lose them for 2 days. And we'll escalate this. It'll be an escalation sensation, Joe, all the way
Cuban Missile Crisis.
Until college. I was furious. So ever since I flipped the spread on Tuesday, things have gone very smooth.
Devices. Is that the ultimate punishment? Taking away the devices?
Yes.
That's the society we live in now?
That's where they are, you know, because they both have their smartphones. I waited until they were in eighth grade to give them the smartphone. They had little burners. That way I could reach them. They could text their friends. Now they both have smartphones.
Got your kids up on burners.
I got them burners. My boys got burners, little flip phones. So now if I threaten the device, the almighty device, or Questy's precious iPad, then stuff gets done.
Speaking of which, that's the ultimate segue. Thank you, Dr. Richard Fried, for sending us all a copy of your book, Wired Child, based on that conversation we had a couple weeks ago about the devices and trying to back away from that stuff, enjoy nature a little bit more and all the different rabbit holes we went down. That was a fun conversation. Enlightening for us and apparently a lot of people. So we appreciate the book. Richard Fried, thank you for sending us our way. It our way. It our way is what I'm looking for there. Okay.
You're hanging in there. You've done so much radio, Joe.
We're looking at 13 hours in a 28-hour stretch.
And you're closing in on the finish line.
Here we go. The final hour. The final hour, and it'll begin with Marcus Thompson right after. Dibs hits you with an update.
Well, a fantastic first day of the NFL draft. The Niners pulling off quite a coup, it says here in my script. Actually, coup, I think is how you pronounce it. They were able to move back from number two to number three and get Solomon Thomas. They also traded back into the first round and got Reuben Foster from Alabama. On the Raiders side, a bit of controversy as they select Garian Conley from Ohio State. He's currently under investigation in Cleveland after he was accused of rape. He's not been charged. He's expected to meet with police and give a DNA sample on Monday. Reggie McKenzie talked about all the homework they did before the pick.
You know, I don't want to get into all the details about who we talked to, all of this stuff, but bottom line is we've done miles of research to be sure we were totally comfortable with our decision, which we were.
Rounds 2 and 3 get underway this afternoon with the Raiders selecting 24th in each of those rounds. The Niners currently without a pick in the second, but they have back-to-back choices in the third round. Story number 2, Giants and Dodgers split the four-game set. L.A. winning 5-1 in 10 innings. A's swept in Anaheim. They dropped the finale 2-1 in the 15th game this year, Joe, among Bay Area teams that was decided by a 2-1 score.
Well, they've been thrilling, Tibbs.
If you like soccer, and I do.
Those are high-scoring affairs. Those are shootouts in soccer.
A lot of soccer action. The A's at 4:15 today as they're taking on Houston. That's when the dugout show starts. First pitch at 5:10. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. We may finally find out who their next opponent is, and we'll have all the action for you right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. But the PenskeAutoSales.com text line feels you may be paying too much for your garbage, or that you might have the number wrong. Dibs, it may be $150 for 3 months, not a month. Let's get it right.
That's possible. I do have the three cans, though, with the green can, your gray can, and then your brown can. It's all about the cans, Joe. It's three cans. I got two kids and three cans. Is it that hard to get three cans of the curb, boys?
Yeah, you're right. Split it between the two. It's really 1.5 cans per kid.
I said, take your high-tech devices and set yourself an alarm, because if this happens again, daddy's going off the reservation.
Sports columnist for the Bay Area News Group. Follow him on Twitter, at Thompson Scribe. Marcus Thompson with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. MT2, the Raider pick last night. Surprised at all that they took the, quote, risk on Gerrion Conley?
Very surprised, actually. They typically avoid those dudes. The Raiders have been pretty outspoken about their, they don't tolerate domestic violence and sexual assault, and they've been trying to be very pro-women. So either they know something, like this dude is going to get off, or, they're like, man, we need a corner, and it's a Super Bowl on the line. That was all good when we were terrible, but Now let's go get this Super Bowl. So I'm just surprised they went that way. It just doesn't fit really what the last couple of years have been.
Even though they say they did their due diligence, Marcus, aren't there still some things that are unresolved and things that could pop up, such as this rape charge that could be coming?
I mean, absolutely, right? What if a bombshell happens, or what if, somebody lied to them and he can't play? Right, like what if that happened? Like, that might be the worst case scenario. Another bad scenario is, some video footage drops, and now they look bad. Now it's like a national story, and they look bad. I mean, Reggie said they did miles and miles of research. I really hope they did, and I guess we'll see how good their research is. Because if this thing ends up going bad, now you got a question. How did they not know if they did miles and miles of research?
Switching gears to the 49ers, the reviews are in the following morning. It appears that John Lynch and the rest of the front office did a remarkable job trading back with Chicago, trading up with Seattle, coming away with Solomon Thomas, additional draft picks, and Reuben Foster. This era looks to be off to a pretty good start, don't you think?
Man, I feel like John Lynch is like Matt Damon in Rounders or something. Like the way he walks away.
Alligator blood.
Right? Like, that was crazy how he basically picked up two picks for nothing. He got an extra pick from Chicago and then used that to get back into the first round. I mean, it was an impressive day one. You could tell he had a plan. He had some focus. And he wasn't scared. Like, that's kind of the real takeaway I had. It wasn't this kind of, I'm uncertain, I don't know what's happening, grit my teeth. He's like, man, let's go out here and make something happen. And that's kind of what you want from a GM, which is a pretty stark contrast from what they had the last 3 years. And look, no ACLs yet. So far he's winning.
So far, so good. And to carry your Rounders analogy further, I guess that would make GM of the Bears, Ryan Pace, Teddy KGB then, right, Marcus?
I don't know, because Teddy KGB is a gangster. And Matt Damon almost did not make it out of there. So ain't nothing about the Chicago Bears gangster. Like,
it's probably Ryan Pace is probably those white privileged frat boys that they cleaned up when Worm first got out of jail.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, that one must have stung, Birch.
Like Fort and Vaught doing me one better on the Rounders, of course.
That's Marcus. On Mount Moviemore for Joe Fort.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's an unbelievable flick. Marcus Thompson, the second, joining us on 95.7 The Game. So looking at the Niners and going forward today, as far as draft needs, where do you think they might go? And do you see them moving up into the second round using those two third-round picks maybe to jump back in?
I think they finish stocking, and you get two, like they get them back to back. So, you know, if they can move up and not give up anything, but right now they got two third back to back picks. That's a pretty good spot. They already have their second rounder in Foster, so they just got him in the first round. So now you can kind of stand pat. I want to see them go for receiver. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see them stock the playmakers. I don't think they'll get a quarterback, but they got to get some playmakers. They got to get something. So one of those two picks I'm expecting to see, what kind of hands can they get on the outside.
How do you think Alex Smith is feeling this morning after watching Andy Reid and the Chiefs move up 17 spots to draft a guy no one pegged for the first round in Patrick Mahomes until about a week ago?
I think Alex Smith is like right where he always is, right? Feeling disrespected and underrated. It's like, all right, I got to show you too. I mean, the truth is, though, he probably is better in that situation, right? He's probably better when he's got something to prove. And I'm sure they had to talk to him about it. I would at least hope Andy Reid respected his star quarterback enough to say, hey, here's what we're going to do, but here's the plan. I think it might be good. He thrives when people kind of count him out. And now it's looking like, all right, I got some competition. You guys don't believe in me? Maybe he'll take him to the Super Bowl now, right?
Yeah, right. Marcus, when you think of that was good. I know, that's why I just laughed with you. When you look at the Raiders and seeing moving forward, if they got that corner that they needed, the lockdown corner, they could probably move Sean Smith to safety. He can, you know, put him down now, put wide out, bring in three receivers. So they got better in the secondary. We think they did that. Now, what's the next? Can you see this team getting another defensive lineman? Do you think they still need that, address that Mike linebacker? What do you think this Raider organization need to go in day two?
I think they got to go linebacker. I mean, obviously, if there's a pass rusher they believe in, especially on the interior, you know, you got to rock with that. But I think they got to get this linebacker situation settled, especially up the middle. I think that's kind of where their issues were defensively, was up the middle. You got Mack, you got Irvin, and, you know, they were productive, but they'll be a lot more productive if you're solid up the middle. So the defense is where they need the most help. And if they did get their corner, you know, I'd like to see a linebacker. I'd like to see some youthful exuberance and some physical dominance up the middle of the field on defense.
Marcus, with Blake Griffin out for the rest of the playoffs, with Chris Paul headed for an opportunity to opt out, although most feel that he's going to remain with the Clippers, Doc Rivers possibly moving on to Orlando, it feels as if the end of this season will bring an end to the Clippers and the rivalry with the Warriors as we've known it over the last few years. Does a part of you, because this is how I feel, does a part of you wish the Clippers can survive this series so that the Warriors can give the final death blow to that organization?
I mean, that's not really why I wish the Clippers find a way through the series. I mean, really, it's the choice between a week in L.A. or a week in Salt Lake.
So, stupid. Like, that was foolish of me.
Come on, CP3. But look, I mean, in my mind, you know, I've watched this whole thing develop between the Warriors and the Clippers from back when Chris Paul would, like, flip a switch and just say, all right, Curry, you ain't get nothing. Up until now, in my mind, Clippers been done. Like, they're just like on life support and people act waiting for a miracle. They're done. They were done last year. They were done the year before that. They're just not. They're relying on people who just don't know how to win outside of Chris Paul. And now you got to start questioning whether he knows how to win. So I'm sure Warriors fans would love to get vengeance from the Donald Sterling series, but really, does it even matter? It might be more important to get a stiff test in Utah to prepare you for San Antonio. So I don't know, the Clippers doesn't move the register that much anymore, just because their excuse is duped in. Oh, we don't have Blake, but they've been done for a couple years.
You might want to get that Randy Newman song queued up. I love Salt Lake, because that's where you're going, baby. That's the tune, right?
Salt Lake isn't bad. Salt Lake isn't terrible. People are really nice. They're all really kind. It's really clean.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's just not, you know, you could just sleep there and you don't feel like I'm missing a huge event somewhere, right?
It's so funny you say that, Marcus, because when I was there during the Occupy movement, I went by Occupy Salt Lake, and it was six dudes in a very well-organized, two tents in a campground, not a speck of trash to be found.
At all, right?
Yeah, they sure occupied it all right.
They got that. Let me show you. We're not racist. Nice.
You know? Oh, okay.
I'm like, hey, and I'm always treated pretty well. Salt Lake.
Overcompensation sensation. Tim Roy would call it.
I'll take it. Hey, oysters on the house.
Sports columnist for the Bay Area News Group. Follow him on Twitter at Thompson Scribe. Marcus Thompson with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for your time, Marcus. Have a great weekend. Look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. Have a good one, fellas.
Big Mormon community in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Big Mormon community.
Yeah. Hilarious.
No, there's not. No.
No?
No. Oh, yeah, there is. Sorry. Thank
That's
you.
Okay.
That was good information.
I know.
Moving forward, what were you doing in Salt Lake?
What was I? Oh, I was there for an MMA fight. One of our old colleagues here, Sean O'Connell, was doing a little MMA fighting, and he had a bout in Salt Lake. And so Steiny and I went out there for a little road trip. I tell you what, there's one for the ages.
You able to find a cocktail on a Sunday?
It was tough. The big thing was, let me get a couple of beers, a couple of shots. Oh, you need to order food in order to drink.
Yeah,
a whole
process.
Are you kidding me? Well, we have chips and salsa for $2.95. Give me the chips and salsa. So everywhere you go, your boys are ordering chips and salsa. You know this, Lo. You've been there. It's a racket.
Congratulations to Jose in Daly City. The answer to the trivia question, Kurt Warner, who was the last undefeated player to win the Super Bowl MVP award. Kurt Warner. 888-957-9570. It is time to move forward. Day two of the NFL draft. For the Raiders, they've got their cornerback, Garyon Conley from Ohio State. For the 49ers, they don't have a pick in the second round, but they have two ballers, according to many, coming in to start next season. Solomon Thomas from Stanford is the third overall pick. Reuben Foster, middle linebacker, Alabama. Lo, let's start with the Niners. Which players, which positional group should they be targeting as we approach day two?
I think the Niners should still, Joe, stay on the defensive side of the ball. You know you're going to struggle, and you can bring in some guys, undrafted guys on offense, but I would continue to build on defense. I talked about what they're doing with the 4-3 and what they need to do. You need another space eater in the middle that's going to make sure that you can let Navarro Bowman and the new linebacker make sure that they can run and you keep guys off of them. So I'm looking at this team and saying, hey, we got to address the secondary, but we also need to make sure that we get another big guy up front that can keep Foster and Bowman free for they can be able to run downhill and be disruptive in the run game.
From a patience perspective, Dibs, John Lynch seems like a guy who enjoys his action. A lot of reports coming out, smoke screens left and right. They put themselves in a position where they've already made two trades. Will they be able to hang back all the way up until pick 66 and 67 in the third round the next time they're on the clock? Will they be able to wait that long before pulling the trigger on another player?
Depends if there's a guy out there that they absolutely love, somebody who may be a threat to be taken before it comes all the way around to them in the third round. And Lowe was outlining some of their needs. You have to wonder on their draft board if there's not a guy who's sitting out there who might get taken in the mid-40s, and maybe you can package those two picks in the third round, jump up and get a guy in the second round. But I think they will sit pat. Marcus Thompson made a good point about the fact that they already got their second-round guy in Reuben Foster. They just traded up into the first round in order to get him. I think that John Lynch and company will stand pat and wait for their picks to roll around.
Will, in Marin, thank you for calling the program. What do you think about the NFL draft day two?
I think it's good. It's just, I think the biggest thing in the NFL is it's all about the players that can contribute right now, unless you're in a situation where you have time to rebuild and actually build a player. It's not like the MLB and basketball where these guys can grow up and, you know, erase their flaws and get better at what they do. So I feel that what the Niners did was really smart by trading and getting two players that can come in and do what they do. I understand that there's a question mark of what Reggie did, but I really like the player. He's a good player, and I think he's going to do really good. And like, you know, a lot of people were saying before, he would have never been drafted or even looked at if they didn't know something that we didn't know. So in day two, it's all about the guys that they can get that can contribute right now, unless you're in a situation where you can get guys that you have time to build around with veterans. So, yeah, that's what I think they should do, just get right now talent. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, Will. Thank you very much. Let's switch gears to the Raiders. Day two, you've got your corner. Where do you head from now? The good news for Oakland, not a lot of pressing needs at the moment. Any names, any positional groups, Lo, that stand out?
I'm going linebacker. Now I'm looking at, okay, I got my secondary. I know that I want to be able to compete, so I went and got me a corner that I believe that can play football on this level and is right now turnkey, ready to play day one. So I did that. Now I got to start addressing the linebacker position, a guy that can run, play sideline to sideline, also a guy that can also maybe even cover some help, cover some running backs, backside of the backfield. And then, Joe, I look at it, and then I'll say, look, I need another boy dog on that defensive front. We know who Khalil Mack is, and we understand what he can bring to the game. But I need another defensive front guy. When you look at the Raiders' defensive front, the interior linemen, they were one of the worst teams in the NFL with putting pressure on the quarterbacks as far as the three guys up front. You have to get another guy in that defensive line. Not just a big guy, but an athletic guy that could win on the one-on-one matchups that can help Khalil Mack and these Bruce Irvin be more prolific in the pass game as well. So I'm looking at linebacker, and also, Joe, I'm looking at interior line.
Raiders aren't up again until pick 56, and if he's there, pull the trigger. Inside linebacker, Ohio State, Raekwon McMillan. You know what he's got? The ability to take on blockers in the hole. That was the biggest problem for the Raiders last year at inside linebacker. Too light in the ass, getting pushed all over the field, unable to stop the run. That is what hurt the Raiders play in, play out early in the preseason, and then as they continue to make the switch moving down the road later in the season. I think Perry Riley Jr. gets re-signed by the organization at some point for depth, but Raekwon McMillan out of Ohio State, if he's there at 56, addresses a huge need and can come in and give this team a boost that they've been sorely lacking at inside linebacker, Dibs.
And that's a position that Reggie McKenzie needs to get right, because he also drafted James Kauser, who didn't really show out like he was going to be a solid rotational player. Riley Jr., if he gets moved, you hope that he can still give an impact. But linebacker is a spot that's kind of flummoxed this organization, going back to Rolando McClain when he was taken pre-Reggie in the first round.
Over 70,000 people showed up to this draft last night in Philadelphia. 70,000. Adam Schefter, Dan Wetzel, anybody who was there, if you followed the reporters on Twitter, were raving about the crowd, the performance, the atmosphere, what the draft has become. So much so, in fact, you had people saying, you can't move this thing back indoors. This has become a bigger event. This is freaking outside lands. It's Bottle Rock. You know what I'm saying? So if we're going to try to get it here in the Bay Area, have you thought of any locations where you could put something like this, whether it be on the San Francisco side or the East Bay side?
Yeah, you could do it down at the Embarcadero, where they had the Super Bowl city experience, the Super Bowl experience. You could certainly hold it down there, put the stages right down there on the Embarcadero outside the ferry building. I think that would give you enough space. Transit-wise, it might throw a little bit of a wrench into the works as far as getting people around. And we got a call earlier from the guy from Philadelphia who said for about a month, Joe, they had the entire area locked down for construction. A main hub in Philadelphia was all but closed for a month while they did all this construction. So that certainly would be a concern in this city, in San Francisco, where traffic has become such a problem.
What are you talking about? Fourth Street's in fantastic shape, Dibs. It only takes an hour and a half to go a couple blocks. Only going to blow out your suspension.
It just takes an hour to go anywhere, is the thing. And if you're going south of Market and you got to cross Market, it's a half an hour minimum.
I will say, though, during the Super Bowl, traffic was way better here in San Francisco than I've ever seen it. Because that was the one thing. It would normally take me in the afternoon to get from here to the bridge, which is very, very close. Sometimes a good 10, 15 minutes at least. It took me about 30 seconds.
Wow.
So they were on it when it came to the Super Bowl.
Could you think like Golden Gate Park? Could you take a section of Golden Gate Park, like the rugby field or the equestrian
field?
The
polo grounds.
The polo grounds. Could you take that section, which has the main stage for outside lands, and set it up there? How bad would that cut off traffic for a month?
That wouldn't be bad out there at the polo fields. The problem is it's just a little bit remote. It's a little too far out there as far as, what you want is you want hotel access. You want these cats and these big wigs to be able to roll quickly from the hotel over to where you want to be. So I think the facility itself is great, but it's a little bit too far out. I think the Civic Center area would be the most likely place. They've had a lot of big events. That's where the Giants' various parades have all ended. They've had World Cup viewing parties there. I don't know if you could quite get 70,000 in that huge square, but probably pretty close.
You got to figure they're going to aim bigger and better every year for this thing. According to the reports, there were 16 cities that sent representatives to Philadelphia to watch how this went off, to kind of study the landscape and the environmental footprint to see how where and when they could pull it off in their own cities. We are beyond the age of Radio City Music Hall. It's just not big enough for this thing anymore. It really isn't.
Yeah, one thing that those cities hopefully learned is that Philly did what they did, Joe. They brought it hard on your boy Goodell with the booze.
They kept it 100. What do you want them to do, cheer for Roger Goodell?
No, and I think any city that follows in the footsteps of Philadelphia trying to hold this draft, it's going to be a tall order because Philly showed out 70,000 strong. It was an incredible visual right there by the Rocky statue, and they got their boo on it, Goodell. Philadelphia did very well last night.
Best available prospects left on the board for day two. Niners, Raiders. Eric Edholm, draft analyst, Yahoo Sports, coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Sean Livingston in 15 minutes. Welcome back, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. He's an NFL writer and draft analyst and a damn good one for Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. It's Eric Edholm with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Eric, good morning and thank you for your time. Biggest surprise on night one. We were doing a draft show here and it was wild with some of the trades. What caught you off guard?
Well, I think the one prediction I nailed, I said, look, it's going to be exciting early. There may be a little lull in the middle. And then I think towards the end of round one, we're going to have some more excitement. So I think I nailed that part. I didn't exactly predict the Bears flipping with your guys there at two. And, you know, it was a stunning first move. I didn't necessarily see it coming. I thought the Bears, I knew they liked Trubisky. They'd done a ton of work on him. They tried to play it coy and not bring him in for a visit and all that. So that to me kind of was the tone setter there. A real shocking move for Chicago and a terrific first foray for John Lynch and company.
It was exciting to say the least, and Mitchell Trubisky, to his part, said he had no contact with Chicago. How much do you think that move was one of desperation, or were they really calculatingly trying to get this player?
Yeah, they wanted him. You know, I think there are other people who said, hey, they might take a corner, Marshawn Lattimore or somebody. They've had about 700 soft tissue injuries the last couple of years. I don't think Lattimore was legitimately an option. I don't think they saw Solomon Thomas as a perfect fit. You know, he's a Chicago kid. They need help on defense. It would have made a lot of sense. But, you know, I think their options were kind of limited. And I don't think they felt comfortable sort of hoping that they could sort of pick up DeShone Kizer in round two or somebody like that. And they just said, we're not waiting around. You know, that was Ryan Pace's quote. I didn't want to be sitting around waiting. So, you know, he just felt like got to move up and get him. They liked him. We knew they liked him. I don't think we knew they quite liked him that much, though. That was a little bit of a shock to me.
Were you surprised that Conley, despite the allegations, found his way into the first round and more specifically with the Oakland Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be stunned, but it was a little surprising to me. For me, that's a big risk. It'd be one thing if, like, there was a crazy run on cornerbacks just prior to that, and you felt like, you know what, he is such a good fit. We've done our legwork the last 72 hours or whatever. We feel comfortable with it. But, you know, there's still that risk. Charges still could be brought at some point. There is that concern. I mean, I had not heard of any character concerns on Conley, anything that was really too worrisome before that. So maybe they felt like, hey, we believe this story, that this was an opportunistic situation. It was consensual. You know, whatever the story was that he's saying happened, the Raiders might have done their work and said, okay, we're doing it this way. I mean, Reggie McKenzie's been a gambler lately. It has worked out. The draft has been so huge for them. And I think they felt like, look, we are a Super Bowl team with a healthy Derek Carr. Let's go get that corner we need. The one thing I say is he's a little Sean Smith-ish. I mean, there's maybe a little overlap there skill-wise.
Going back to Trubisky and what they decided to do in Chicago, you think that Chicago saying this guy is going to sit for a year, that's why we wanted to jump up and take him? Because we did get a quarterback in free agency? Because it's just after 13 games and looking at some of the reads and the progressions that this young man goes through, doesn't seem like he's NFL ready. So is this a direct correlation to say, look, we have Glennon that's going to hold it down for at least a year for sure?
That's the thinking, I think. And you know, I mean, you know, we knew we knew Mike Glennon was not going to be paid the entire, you know, full length of his contract. We didn't know that, but we suspected, okay, they're going to buttress this with a quarterback pick. I just didn't necessarily think it would be with the second choice in the draft. And so that's where my confusion kind of comes in a little, but yeah, I think he'll come in and learn the system and all that stuff, get some chemistry with the receivers and figure out what they want to do offensively. But, you know, if they don't win some games this year, I mean, John Fox is out and he's like, learn a new offense next year. And then maybe that means the new coordinator says, all right, I'm building around Trubisky, and it ends up being a zero sum game. But, you know, it's a worry. And think about it. Mike Glennon hasn't started very many games in recent years. Trubisky has 13 college starts in the last three seasons. Mark Sanchez, the number three, we haven't seen him much lately. So that the level of playing experience, on-field experience for their three quarterbacks has to be less than any team, maybe other than the Browns.
NFL writer and draft analyst for Yahoo Sports, Eric Edholm with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Did John Lynch and the Niners do as well as the media and the fans believe they did last night between the trades and the acquisitions of Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I'd love to be contrarian and give you guys someone to beat up on or something, I loved it. I mean, I think you got two of the six or seven best pure football players in the draft. Solomon Thomas is believed to be, you know, a very high character guy, a hard worker. I saw his motor fluctuate a little more than other people. I mean, everyone said, oh, he's this super high motor guy. There were plays he took off, you know, watch the bowl game and watch, you know, a few other spots. But he's so young and he's still ascending. And if you can put him in that Michael Bennett role in that Seattle style defense, he could really flourish. I don't think he's ever going to be a Bennett like pass rusher, but man, the floor is high and the ceiling is high as far as I'm concerned. With Foster, to me, it's all about managing his health and managing the guy who's had a rough upbringing. We know the story, you know. I mean, he's had a lot of crazy things happen in his life, and I think he was very, very well insulated in Tuscaloosa. Could be a different story in the NFL, the distractions, all that come with it. I like the guy, and I want to see him succeed. And I think, you know, Johnny Holland and, you know, the rest of that defensive staff is going to have, you know, they're going to have a lot of work with him. But, man, what a talent. What a player he is.
How eager do you think the 49ers will be to look for a quarterback either today or at some point before this draft cycle ends?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly on their list. But, I mean, I also don't think you have to just panic and take somebody just for the heck of taking it. I mean, you have to like him and feel like, okay, this is somebody who could thrive in Kyle's system. Maybe not year one, maybe not even year two. So the fit's got to be there. You don't take a QB just to take one, I don't think. So that's the beautiful thing. I mean, both these guys have six-year deals. There's no need to just step on the gas and say we've got to get everything done on our list this year, this draft, whatever. They can go corner. They can go pass rusher. They can go, you know, O-line. They can go a number of different directions. I'm just excited to see, you know, wide receiver. I'm excited to see what their plan is to back up the what I think were, you know, two potentially great hits in round one.
Eric, as we move forward into day two, who do you see as some of the top prospects on the board? And the natural follow-up to that's going to be, how long will Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon last?
Yeah, I think Mixon and Cook are two fascinating ones. You know, I kind of made the mistake of mocking Cook to Tampa in round one. Made some calls after that. Isn't that the worst? You make a mock draft, and then you talk to somebody after, and they're going, no, that's probably not going to happen.
Oh, it's the worst.
I know. It's a terrible feeling, and then, you know, you're out there. You're exposed. But I think Tampa's concerned about the you know, Cook being a little too close to home, you know, being around some of those FSU guys and some of his school buddies and such, and I just don't see that connection. Now, could they go mixing? Yeah, they could. I think Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, Minnesota. I think somewhere in mid-round two, that's my best guess, is where Joe Mixon is going to go off the board. Cook, all bets are off. I really don't know. I haven't had a clear spot as to where he'll go. But I think he's a heck of a football player. You keep him – if he goes to, let's say, Green Bay, you know, I mean, I could see it working really well. And then the distractions may not be as big up there. Kaiser from Notre Dame, obviously the quarterback. You know, Green Bay is fielding calls right now, and I think they'll try to get the best trade-up offer for number 33.
What do you think about the prospects of California quarterback Davis Webb?
You know, I've been really kind of ambivalent on him. I mean, I love talking to him. You know, he's so confident. He's a smart guy. He clearly wants to be great. You know, he's got the kind of the football coursing through his veins and all that. You know, I think it burns him a little bit that he's probably watching Mahomes and, you know, the guy who beat him out of Texas Tech in essence, you know, go where he went. And I think he feels like, hey, I've got as much physical talent as this guy does. And so you love that about him. But you also, I mean, again, I'm not a scout, but I've watched the games and I know there's some deficiencies in what he does. And so I think he is on the list of about four or five teams, maybe three or four, I don't know, but a handful of teams that probably like him early in day two, and we'll kind of plot, do we need to move up? Can we stay put in, you know, with the 50th pick or whatever? Can we stay in the middle of round two and still get him? That's probably the debate that's going on right now with NFL teams.
NFL writer and draft analyst for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. It's Eric Edholm with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Eric, thank you for your time this morning. We know you're busy. We look forward to catching up again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Sean Livingston, Golden State Warriors, up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Larry Bird sees the writing on the wall, does he not? What's the latest out of Indiana, Dibs?
Larry Bird, it's over. He's stepping down as president of basketball operations. Word is he will stay on as a consultant of sorts, but you see the thing going downhill. You've put in your time as Larry Legend. Enough is enough. He has stepped down.
Paul George is out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So out of there. You got to realize at some point, the small market, it's just not going to work. It'll work if you can bring in two more stars, but how do you attract the stars to the big market, to the small markets, I should say?
Man, Rick Smits isn't walking through that door, Joe.
Detlef Schrempf.
I love him. The great German star. Shout out University of Washington.
Oh, my God. So what do you do tonight? Do you root for the Jazz to close this thing out because you hate the Clippers? Do you root for the Clippers to extend this series so it gives the Dubs more time off? Do you root for the Clippers to win this series so that at the end of the day, you can watch the eventual nail be driven into the coffin at the hands of the Warriors?
I'll take the last of those three options. I want seven games. I'd like this thing to get stretched out. And I would love to see the Clippers beat Utah. I think Utah poses a tougher test in the next round. And for Marcus Thompson's sake, let's get him down to L.A. instead of Salt Lake City.
Why not ask Sean Livingston what he thinks as he's joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game? Sean, it's like a second offseason. We don't even know what to talk about. You guys haven't played for so long.
Yeah, nice little break, though. You know, nice break for the guys getting healthy. So we'll see. We'll see tonight.
What's everyone do with their time off? I know some of the guys like to play a little golf. You've been doing a little rehabbing. How do you spend the week?
Yeah, just with family. You know, have some family time. Good to stay in your own bed. You know, the travel kind of gets old sometimes. But, yeah, guys, you know, guys do it different. Family, have family in town. You know, guys play golf. You know, it's just each to each his own.
Sean, what's the status of your hand or your finger as it pertains to being ready for either Sunday or Tuesday? I know it's been a while since you've been out there rehabbing, but what is the exact extent of this current injury?
Yeah, I tore some cartilage in my finger a little bit. It's kind of like a strain, and then I had a bone bruise on my hand. The bone bruise was the main part, just, you know, being able to catch, pass the ball, shoot the ball. You know, it's my right hand, so unfortunately it's a shoot hand. But, you know, this break has helped me. I'm looking forward to trying to get out there for game one. We'll see what happens. We'll see if I'm ready or not. But, you know, luckily we've had some time to kind of rest and rehab, so we'll kind of wait and see how it goes.
Sean, how do you guys keep your competitive edge doing this so much downtime? How is the coaching staff, you know, keeping you guys prepared and just keeping you sharp? You know, you know you got some time off. How do you keep that competitive edge going?
Yeah, it's a balance. It really is. It's a balance of, you know, resting and making sure, you know, we're fresh, but also, too, staying sharp and really, you know, working on our craft and making sure, you know, we come out because with a lot of off time or downtime, you know, it's kind of human nature to come out a little rusty. When you haven't been in a rhythm, you haven't been playing, you know, the game, you haven't been in a game like atmosphere, Practice is different than the games. Shoot around's different than the games. So I think the main thing is, you know, we'll do a little scrimmaging throughout the week, you know, just to kind of keep our legs up under us, you know, keep some cardio in and also get some rhythm. But, you know, keep it short. Keep it short. We try to work on efficiency over, you know, long practices, you know, short and sweet.
Sean Livingston with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Do you find yourself keeping up with what's going on in the other playoff series around the NBA? Or when you get some time off like this, do you try to separate from the game entirely?
Yeah, me personally, I separate. And, you know, that way I can be refreshed. But I've been separated for a long time, you know, a week and a half. You know, I've been out the game. So I've been trying to keep up with the series and kind of seeing what's going on the other bracket, on the other side in the Eastern Conference, and, you know, watching this L.A. series. It's interesting seeing, you know, who we're going to play. I mean, I think most guys would want to be in L.A., but at the same time, Utah poses a good challenge for us moving forward.
Being from Illinois, did that make you a Bears fan growing up? And if so, did you like the Trubisky move last night?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bears fan for sure. I mean, through thick and thin. I liked it. I think, you know, moving forward, we have to start somewhere. You know, I was a Cutler fan at first. It's tough. You know, I think we made the right move on that end. And, you know, we got to put the pieces together moving forward. So we'll see how it goes.
You mentioned thick and thin. Are you even old enough to remember the thick? It's been mostly thin, Sean, in the past few years.
When I first came in, I mean, you know, we 05, 06, you know, the Urlacher days. I mean, you know, we were tough on the defensive end. Offensively, we were, you know, a little shaky. But, I mean, we had some teams there for a while with Levy Smith, you know. So hopefully we can get back to those days.
Sean, did you used to love watching me run over Urlacher at times?
Oh, man. I feel something.
You know,
I felt it.
That's what we do around here. We make you feel like part of the family, and then we trash
right.
you. It's how the morning show works.
I knew it was coming.
Hey, Sean, how do you guys, when you talk about it, I know you guys said you're staying sharp and you can scrimmage, but how much extra conditioning you do? I remember hitting the playoffs and having that bye week that Joe always talks about us. We lose and lost him a lot of money when I was with the Chargers, and we happen to lose that after that bye week. How much condition?
Jets game. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah,
the Jets
Joe,
game?
Yeah, Joe, yeah. So how much
I'm sorry that didn't work out for you.
Oh, man. For me personally, I try to get a lot of running in, you know, and just staying in shape. The weight room is huge for everybody, you know, making sure that, you know, guys are getting their lifts in, you know, staying strong, really getting some lower body work in. So I think, you know, the main thing is just, you know, knowing yourself, really. You know, knowing what you need out there. A coach, he puts a lot of trust in the guys. We have a veteran team, you know, as professionals, you just have to really know yourself, know your body, and know exactly what you need, whether it's on the court work, shots, weights, conditioning, you know, and he trusts us to kind of get that work in.
It's a good thing that there are so many veterans because the head coach right now is out due to his back
yeah.
issues. How much does that weigh on you guys as a family to know that your head man has been unable to go?
Yeah, I think you said it. You know, as a family, there's a human component where it's like, man, you know, at the end of the day, we just put a ball in a basket, right? You know, we're fortunate to get paid a lot to do so, but at the same time, it's just a game, you know. And this guy's dealing with real health issues. And, you know, as we all know, I mean, our health, you know, is probably the most important thing we have, right? You know, because we're able to be healthy and share our lives with our families and memories and stuff like that. You know, that stuff is, you know, what really matters, what really counts. So, you know, we want him to be as healthy as possible. We want him to, you know, get back to being himself. And I don't think he's been himself as of late. So, you know, we're obviously praying for him and hoping the best for him.
100% agreement on this end as well. Golden State Warriors guard Sean Livingston with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Sean, thank you for your time this morning. Enjoy the remainder of your off time. We look forward to seeing you back on the court next week.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Sean. Tickets for all Warriors home playoff games are always available on Warriors.com. Even in the event of a sellout, there are always last-minute holds and secondary tickets for resale available on Warriors.com, the only verified marketplace for all Warriors tickets needs. Quick story about last night at the draft party. I am introducing a new element into this program moving forward. It will be known as hashtag Papa Locks.
Papa Locks.
Not Papa Doc from 8 Mile. Papa Locks.
Nice. Talking his hair?
Papa Locks. No, not after the hair, but I could see why you would go there. Uh-huh. He does have beautiful hair.
Amazing.
Last night in the build-up to the draft, we had a two-hour pre-show before it kicked off at 5. Papa got himself very worked up about Christian McCaffrey. He loves Christian McCaffrey. Was going off about Christian McCaffrey. Number two player on his board. Number two. Loves Christian McCaffrey. Then heard a rumor that Mr. Ed, John Elway, and the Broncos could be trading up for him. Also heard that Fat Andy in Kansas City could be trading up for him, and got himself all worked up into a frenzy at the idea of Andy Reid having Christian McCaffrey. We went to a break. Papa ended up making his way to the restroom. So did I. I was behind him. Come walking in. He's like five urinals down. You got the partitions up, and I just see him look over to the left, and he gives me this look as he's relieving himself, and he goes, "I'm going to tell you something. If McCaffrey ends up in Kansas City, I'm walking out of here. I am leaving. I am done. McCaffrey cannot go to the Chiefs." And he goes on this 4 or 5 minute tirade while he's doing his thing and I'm trying to do my thing about McCaffrey, McCaffrey, McCaffrey. So I come walking off and it's like, huh, Pep really loves McCaffrey. Maybe he got that from some scouts or some talent personnel people. Who knows? So I may or may not have made a phone call to a certain individual who would be interested in that information about whether or not Christian McCaffrey may or may not be drafted inside of the 9th overall pick. And when he goes 8 to Carolina, the Papa Lock was born.
Papa Lock.
As it cashed. Papa Lock, Christian McCaffrey. Told him on air, went to shake his hand. No, no, no. No dinner is necessary. I'm happy to help.
Hashtag urinal information.
Hashtag Papa Locks.
That was
it
drunk.
For us. JT the Brick is going to have Lincoln Kennedy at 10:15, Jim Barnett at 10:45, and Herm Edwards at 11:15. For Anna, for Loaf, for Dibs, I'm Joe Fortenball. Thank you for hanging out with us today, everyone. We appreciate it. We are back Monday morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
I don't give a damn.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.